Are you blessed this morning? Yeah, sometimes it's just looking at God's word and just do what it says. Hi, Anne. just do what it says and leave that up to him. Leave it up to him. If his word says that you will be healed, then you will be healed. If his word says that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask for, hope for, imagine, then it means he wants to do big things. You know, the meeting on Thursday, do you know that the Lord and by his spirit, he's already moved? Everything that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's already in our Thursday. And he's here today, but he's already in your Thursday. So Thursday doesn't come as a surprise to the Lord because he created the days. But he knows what's going to happen. And we just get to join in with what the Father is doing. So there's no stress, really. It's a stress-free. It's the Lord's work. He is in charge of what he needs to do. So don't stress. Just have a nice ice cream with some sprinkles on there. And say, Lord, we commit Thursday to you. Because you are able. That's just how I pray. It's childlike faith. Childlike faith. You know, when your grandkids, your little ones, they believe in you. Mommy's going to do this. She said that. And mommy's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do it? Kids just know. They have faith to believe. And they will tell all their friends in school, whatever you promise them, if you're not sure about a promise, they are sure that you will deliver. So they go on and tell everybody. My mom will do it. My dad will do it. Because they've got the confidence to believe that you will do it. The same with God. This is how my mind just works like that. God, you know where I'm at. Through my pain, through my joys, through the valleys, through the mountaintops. You know all about that, Lord. You know my coming in, my going up, my rising up, my lying down. You order my steps. So nothing is new to you. Nothing comes by surprise to you. So, Lord, I thank you. That now I'm going to sleep. Because two people can't. He said he never sleeps, nor does he slumber. So why do we stay awake? Only one of us can sleep. And that's me. The Lord never sleeps, nor does he slumber. He watches over his word. He does. So I just wanted to really encourage you on that. So yes, thank you so much once again for coming back. This church has been a blessing to me and my wife. I need to say that. Because sometimes we forget. The same with remember me when you do this. Remember that you can be healed. That's what scripture says, so remember. I never forget people who's been a blessing to me, ever. Because what has been passed on to me, I then went away and delivered. Can you see what I mean? So some of you who came here, you came from places where people passed on their knowledge, their guidance, their insight. And we sit here today because somebody passed it on to us. Maybe some of your parents who were believers and they passed on the faith to you and maybe you rejected it at first. Ah, what's true for you? It's not true for me. What you know, all that stuff. But what they've been given unto us, we could apply it and we sit here where we sit today because God has done something amazing. And God works with people. This morning, Chris shared the message that I'm going to preach. And I was just thinking, that's amazing because we all are together. So I don't need to read the scripture again because Chris already did it with so much passion and so much sincerity and so much. Come on. Do you see what I mean? It's like we all come together. We all work together. We're part of the body of Christ. If you lose, I lose. If I win, you win. That's how it is in the world. The world is looking at the church to say, what is different about the church than being at a park run today? Being walking our dogs on this time, at this time. What distinguishes us from other people is the Holy Spirit in us and the lives that God has transformed. That's the only, we see differently from people who are doing runs this morning. It's always fascinating. When I drive, you see people running down the road. Like, and you think, mate, you should be in church. And it is like, Don't even think of church. It's just running. But what if the church live in such a way that people even on the street says, I need to go in there? Have you ever imagined that? Where you go to a walking a dog and beginning the Holy Spirit just begin to pour something into you and you pass it on? It's fun. That is just fun. I work in a school in Lanishan High School, again, because of, I started here. Can you see what I mean? It's been passed on, and then what do? I just carry it on. And now I've seen all those young people that came to church when I was the youth pastor and children's pastor here. They are doing great because I'm still mentoring them. Passing it on, keep passing it on. And in school now, isn't it amazing that when you show up in business, whether you show up in whatever you do, with your family, when you show up, there's something different about you, something that you bring. If you bring joy, they will sense it. If you bring grumpiness, they'll know it. We bring joy, right? We bring joy, so we give it. In school, the Lord told me that he said this. He says, you don't even at times need to talk about me. He says, it's more blessed to show them what my character is. So when they ask you, you can give an answer for the hope that you have. Again, it's fun. I just see it how it like, it's just fun. So in school, the secretary there, she said to me, over the weekend, last weekend, she was talking to people about youth ministry or youth, helping youth. And she said, oh, we've got Ricardo in our school, to this guy. And he works for the youth council in Cardiff. And he said, oh, I heard about Ricardo. He's got a good name. And I don't even know the guy. And she said, but then I started looking on the internet about you. She said, I didn't stalk you. I was just looking at what are you about. And I know that when you go on YouTube, there is preaching of me. And then also my business, my coaching and my mentoring business, it's there. But she looked at me and she said, you're the real deal. And again, I'm just standing there. I'm thinking like, how did you get to that? But the Lord said, don't even ask her. I looked her in the eyes and I knew that she could relate to me, but she didn't talk about Jesus. Have you ever seen people when you talk to them and it's kind of like they give off? I know what you're saying, but I'm still like a submarine. I'm undercover. I was like, I know you're undercover. I know. And it's this thing, when she said it, the Lord said to me, that's how you show up, because you're passing things on. You're passing on joy. You're passing on, she says, your smile and how you see the world. It's just amazing. And I said, hey, we need to sit down for coffee because I would love to see how you see the world. Can you see? Not in a weird way, just in a way because I need to give off something. So in 2 Timothy, where Paul is saying to Timothy, he is praising God with a clear conscience, and his ancestors did. Can you see that there was a passing on that happened? And then he says to Timothy, this faith, this sincere faith that I see in you, I've seen it in your grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And if you're making notes in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, Timothy, I just call him Timmy because I'm going to call him Timmy in heaven when I see him. Not Timothy, just Timmy. So Timmy's father was Greek. He was an unbeliever. His mother was Jewish, believer. And we don't hear about him, about his father in that. So he must have grown up with a single parent. But his grandmother's faith, Lois, was passed on to Eunice. And then Eunice passed it on to Timothy, which is aka Timmy, little Timmy. And then it just went on and he passed it on to the church. And so this thing about passing on, I watched the Olympics. Remember Olympics 2012 in London, when the Jamaicans, when they broke the record, I was just thinking, oh my goodness, what if one of them just dropped the baton? Because if one drops the baton, it's disqualification to everybody. And I see the church the same like that. If I am weird out there, people are going to think you're weird too. They're going to see Chris and say, are you with him? Oh, he's weird, so you're weird too. But where do you bring joy? Have you ever noticed when somebody says, you remind me so much of a friend that's in a different country? Your joy, your love, the way you see people, your gentleness, your kindness. You know, have you ever had that where people say, you remind me of somebody? Because the Bible says, Jesus says, by this the whole world will know that we are his disciples if we love one another, which means if I love you, then I need to give it. I need to pass it on. I need to pass it on to you. Because the world will see and says, this is so Jesus. And that's what I love in schools. I don't talk so much about Jesus. I just show them Jesus. In situations where, you know, like people are bickering, like some teachers, they come across professional, but behind the scenes, they effing and blinding. I'm like, what are you guys all about? Effing and blinding. And I'm like, what makes, my face tells them, what makes you think that I'm okay with what you're saying? You know, Ricardo, these effing kids. And I'm thinking like, who is going to lift up these kids? Who's going to tell these kids that, you know what? I know at home you don't get this kind of love. So when they come in my vicinity, I love them like a spiritual father and a brother. So you can't effing and blinding. And then they're like, man, you too serious. Have you ever noticed that? When you do the right thing, people say, you too serious. Oh my goodness. It's like, I was like, listen, I'm trying to pass on something here to the next generation. If you don't want to do it and you just pick up a check and you have 6-week holiday, then you do you. But I'm not here to connect with behavior like that. Not that I'm judging, but I've got something to give. I have a responsibility to pass something on. This is what Paul is talking about. You know, it says like in Psalms 145 verse 4, it says, one generation will praise the Lord to the next generation and tell of his mighty works. When last did you tell your family about the mighty works of Jesus? Now, some of them might look at you and say, oh, here he goes again with that whole God stuff. But what if they see healing? They can't dispute that. They can't say, oh, I don't believe that. So we need to be people living by faith and action. Faith and action. So that's what I'm saying. If Jesus says that you will be healed by doing that, then I believe that. I believe that, and I'm going to continue to believe that he wants to heal if we do that. I'm applying my faith. But faith, when your faith gets knocked, isn't that challenging? When your faith gets knocked, even me, when my faith got knocked at times, oh my goodness, to be serious, I did not think about prayer. Prayer didn't come on my mind because your faith is knocked. And even in that, Jesus still communicates. And he says, I still got you. I know. Because even if you're frustrated, sometimes I'm just like so authentic with Jesus. If I don't like something, I just, let's have it. I'm disappointed. That's it. Done. See you later. And then he does something in me because he understands. The psalmist says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt like that? Like felt like God has forsaken you? But we know that he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. So which means it is just our feelings, our emotions, and he wants us to get that out. Sometimes I'm like, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Same with David. He said that, but then Psalm 23, he starts by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes it's just get it out. Get it out and get back to what God wants us to do. So Timothy, Paul is saying to Timothy that he was taught by the scriptures even from a young age. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 15, he says, you've been taught the scriptures from a young age. Where's the times where in society that we're living in now, young people don't have time, or the way it goes is they don't have time for that. But they have time for TikTok. They have time for TikTok and Instagram. That is the new, their Bible. But what if they see the mighty acts of God in your life? They will remember that and they will take it into their life. So we have to pass on this sincere faith, this genuine faith. I received this genuine faith by my mother. That I know some of you live in your houses with maybe 2-3 people, or you know, nice. We had a small house, 3-bedroom with 30 people in one house. 30 people, imagine that, with one big pot full of food. But I saw my mother praying over that food, and she would say, nobody dish up food. She's the only person that dishes up the food because she prayed. And she wants to see God multiply. And it was always fun. 30 people, and you think like, you're not going to get food. And then you look at one another like, oh, you're going to get a little bit. But then there's still left over. And you think, how did that work, Mom? And she said, when you do stuff with love, when you do stuff with faith, believing that God can feed, if he can feed the 5,000 and there's still bread and fish left, then he can do it for me. And I heard these kinds of things, but in my mind, I was thinking, it doesn't make sense. But the faith has been passed on to me to believe that God has got a plan for your life. You are amazing. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You're the apple of his eye. He, the stars in the sky, he upholds them. He calls them by name. And how much more doesn't he call me by name and how he will uphold me? And I'm just thinking, wow, I'm going to apply my faith to that. God knows. God knows where I'm at. And this is that sincere faith. So faith is, now faith is the substance, according to Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I want to be healed, so therefore I'm hoping for that. It's not evident yet. There's no evidence, but I believe that if I can, like the woman with the issue of blood, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. She said that, right? I know. Even before, she was unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be there. Because if you touch somebody else, you make them unclean. So she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. And what happened? She touched the hem of his garment and she got made whole. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. What are we passing on to the next generation? So how does faith come? How do we pass on the faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did you feel? I saw some of your faces really smiling when I was saying about my mom and 30 people in my house and how she fed people. That's an amazing story, isn't it? It's a story that builds your faith, but also for me, it's even greater because I've experienced it. I was there. And every time you think, oh, it's not going to work next week. And it just keeps working all the time, all the time, all the time. So my faith increased because I heard and I could see. I could see. That's why for me, God has many times just says to me, believe by faith, even if it's hard. Believe, believe, keep believing. That's what faith is. Trust, confidence in the ability that Jesus can do what he said he'll do. That's just what I do. It's like when we overthink, oh my goodness, but the thing is this, but what if this, and what if this, and what if that, and what if this, and what if this, and what. I've never seen people who are peaceful who constantly say, but what if this, and what if this, and what if that, and what if, and send a text, what if this, and what if, call a friend, what if this, but what if that. There is no direction. It is just the what if, what if, what if. Have you ever thought about what if it does happen? What if it does happen? And the last point I want to make with in verse 6, it says, fan into flame, stir up the gift inside of you. I have a gift of encouragement. I don't need to work hard to really encourage people. And I've recognized that about myself, that when I speak or when I bring a word, when I bring encouragement, people just seem to be like contagious. They're like, ooh, I feel so good. But it's not because I'm trying to do that. It's because I understand that the gift of encouragement was given to me. So therefore, I need to encourage in a way that if Jesus was here, he would encourage you like this. I need to pass it on. So all of us here, we have gifts been given to us. And you know what? I always say this. I'm in youth ministry and in young adults. But I say this. The best people is people that is older than us. Not older in age. I'm talking wisdom. I'm talking wisdom. You guys here, you guys got lots of wisdom in this place. Lots of wisdom here right today. And God is saying, stir up that gift. Some of us gave up because we're looking at our grandkids because they don't agree with you. And then you stopped. Or people in your street disagree with you and then you stopped. The enemy will always cause you to back out all the time. There's so much wisdom here. In fact, what I have today, I sat with people wiser than me in Cape Town and just sitting, going to their house and just sit there, clean the garden, and I just want to hear what they're saying. And then when they would talk, you know, around the table, I would hear these are mighty things about God. And I would just ask if I can just take notes. I don't want to talk because they're deep. I just want to take notes. And what I have today is because of a generation that has moved before us in all of it. You need to stir up the gift. Do you, like, but quicker question. Do you know the gift that God has given unto you? Just by showing of hands. Do you know that gift that God has given unto you? Okay. Don't be shy. Remember, I'm family. Don't be shy. It is just the gift. Why I'm saying that is when you recognize what you have, you stir that up. Stirring it up. How do we stir it up? We stir it up by meditating on God's word and study it, right? That's how you stir it up. So when I preach, sometimes I don't look so much on my notes because most of the scriptures that I'm talking about is already in my spirit, is in my mind, you know? So I'm stirring it up. Even as I'm speaking, I feel stirred up. I feel empowered. I feel like, whoa, something is going to happen here. You know, that sort of thing. I can feel it. But also another way how you can stir up the gift is by prayer. Praying into the gift, Father, I thank you so much that you've given me the gift of encouragement. Thank you for giving me the gift and the spirit of healing or discernment. Or Lord, I thank you. Imagine you come Thursday night in that meeting and you begin to release what God has given you in terms of your gift. Because your gift will make room for you and bring you before influential people. So I have opportunities where I speak with influential people. But it's a guy that came from Cape Town with no education. See what the gift does. Not my education will bring me before people of influence. My gift will. And when I speak to people, they're like, man, you're so deep, man. Wow, you are so deep. It's not because I'm deep. It's because I'm stirring up the gift. I have a gift, and the gift will make room for me. Also, another one is Bible study. When you go to Bible study, that's how you stir up your gift. And I'm not talking Bible study, folks. I never study with people who is gossipy or who is, you know, I think this. I don't want to know what you think. I want to know what the Bible says. I'm not interested in your opinion. And you shouldn't be interested in my opinion because we're kingdom citizens. We're disciples of Jesus. So that's, I've learned the hard way, seriously. When I would speak in Cape Town, they were like, where does that stand and where does it come from in the Bible? I just feel that, mate, we're not here to hear how you feel. We're here to hear what the Lord is saying. And that was the discipline that they taught me, not just to speak. I had people behind me when I was preaching. If I said something wrong, they would tap you on your shoulder and say, young man, go sit down. In a service, imagine in a service, then the elder would just say, young man, that's a lot of passion, but no scripture. Go sit down. They helped me stir up the gift. Stir the gift up. And then also, it is listen to listen to testimonies. Listen to testimonies that will stir up your faith. And the thing is this, God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, right? Didn't give you a spirit of fear. How is it sometimes we focus on the things that we focus on, you see what I mean? God has given us three things, but he says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but we hang out with fear. Or we get drawn into fear. But then he says, I've given you power, love, and a sound mind. We don't talk so much about that, isn't it? The power, the love, the sound mind. Fear. Fear will always cause us to move away from our calling all the time. I feared speaking in English when I left Cape Town. I feared because if I say the wrong thing, people are going to laugh at me. And God says, I can make your second language, which is English, your first language. I feared, and God says, no, I've given you power, love, and a sound mind. I've given you dunamis, power. I'm a powerful guy. You a powerful woman, powerful man. He has given us power. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in Acts chapter 1:8, he says, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. So when I go to school, I go in with power. I go in with love. And I go in with a sound mind, knowing that singly minded, I know why I'm here. I'm not here to effing and blinding. I'm here to bring the kingdom. That's just how it is. But we have to pass this on. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. That is what I really want to encourage. I hope that your faith has been stirred. I hope that what I've been sharing by the Spirit, that you are going to apply these things into your life and you're going to pass it on to the next generation. You're going to pass it on to your neighbor. You're going to pass it on to the people that you hang out with. You're going to pass it on. When God brought me into the marketplace in terms of coaching and mentoring, you know what is so amazing? Like, people talk, they have terminologies. They're talking about, Ricardo, the universe just brought us together. And they say very deep, the universe brought us together. I just put it out there in the universe, and it just brought us back. What did the universe tell you? That's not the point. The universe. So they have these sayings where I'm like, yeah, but the creator of the universe, he's Yahweh. He's faithful. He's a person. And then they say, you got energy. Oh, you got so much energy. I don't think I've got energy. I just think I've got anointing. But they, it's different sayings. And the Lord taught me, he says, sometimes we have like a churchy lingo that we go into the world and we talk about sanctification, glorification, and the blood. People don't know that. There's even people who don't like blood. And then we say to them, the blood. The Lord says to me, he says, show up with your character, with the fruit of the Spirit, and I will draw all men unto me. And I believe that this church is the same. I'm here to remind you today that a guy like me, who started here, that the Lord has blessed me and my wife, the Lord has done amazing things because you've passed on something to us, and we believe that we hope that we pass something on to you, that together we bring in God's kingdom in Lisbon, in Cardiff, in Wales, and in the world. But a guy that's standing in front of you is because of the passing on that I received, and I applied it. And that's what God wants to continue to do, is if we just come to a place and say, Lord, we look to you. We brought our gifts. You know where we need to be. You know how we need to function. And so therefore, we're going to sleep, and you're going to do what you're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to believe you. And that's it. It's very easy. I don't find kingdom stuff very difficult. It is very easy. You do your part, God will do his part. But God will always do his part, even if we don't do our part. You know, he's faithful, even if we are faithless. He will always. So Lisbon Baptist, let me say this. God, you are on God's radar. But you do it, keep hearing what he's saying. Because he's building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Easy. I brought that message. It's very easy. Don't have unnecessary stress about church life. We talk about church life. I don't even know what that means. I hear people say it, but church life and then home life and then this life and then that life. You know, he just says, I've come to give you abundant life. So that's it. Church is in there. Houses and family, marriage, all of that is in one, not in. Because when you have church life, then you have a church face. And you go to work and you have a church, a work face. And you know, it's just show up like you. Just be fun and have fun. Just be you. That's my message today for LBC. And I pray that God continue to bless you guys. I pray for you. I believe God for even the thing the Lord just told me, the Holy Spirit just said to me, Ricardo, do you know, I can do it because you believe that I can do it for them. And I believe. I put my faith to it. You're going to see in a year's time, you're going to look back and say, look at what the Lord has done. Not look at what we have done. Look at what the Lord has done. And we give him praise for that. So God bless you and have a great day. The sun is out. Everybody's happy. Be blessed.